You're listening to the Sunrise Community Church Podcast. At Sunrise, we desire that the glory of God would be the glory of this city. If you would like more information about our church, please visit our website at sunrisecc.com. Let's join this week's message.
Psalm 57, Exaltation from the Lowly. The heading of this psalm states, "For the choir master, do not destroy." A psalm of David when he fled before Saul in the cave. This sets the tone for the psalm. David has sought protection in the cave twice, fleeing from Saul. First in 1 Samuel 22, and second time in 1 Samuel 24. The psalms are poetic literature, and we see in this psalm metaphors, word repetition, and structure that help us lean into what the writer is trying to convey. When reading the Psalms, it has been said that you must feel the text. And as we do, we glean from Psalm 57. We are brought low. We feel the weight that was felt by David seeking refuge. But we will soar to heights unimaginable as we gaze upon the beauty of God and His Word. This psalm has many words that create this picture of God's position as above the heavens, and man's position as being brought low. The psalm is divided into two sections, both ending with the chorus, "God be exalted above the heavens. Let your glory be over the whole earth." We see this in verse 5 and verse 11. And of course, that kind of brings us to our outline. The chorus will be the ending of the two sections. The first section, desperate prayer, verses 1 to 5, and the second section, delightful praise, verses 6 to 11. My purpose this morning is that you would humbly cry out to God in prayer, and that God would be exalted in your heart and on your tongue. Let's pray as we get started. Father God, we come to you in desperate need of your word. Father, we come to you in a season of drought. Many here today are in the midst of suffering. Many that have come into here today may not know you. Some may be far from you. Lord, we need to hear you in your word. I pray that you would speak to us. I pray that your spirit would be felt, and I pray that you would help your word to dive deep into our hearts. Father God, may you be exalted in the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll look at verse 1. Be gracious to me, God. Be gracious to me. You hear the desperate plea of David. If anyone would be in a position to demand God's protection, it would be David, the chosen heir to the throne. God, what are you doing allowing Saul to pursue me like this? Don't you remember how I saved the Israelites from Goliath? This sounds ridiculous, I know. But how often is that our mindset with God? Coming to him, demanding from him as if he owes us anything. This is not how David approaches the throne. He cries out, "Be gracious to me. God, be gracious to me." From the beginning, David is acknowledging his need for God's grace and God's holy otherness. He continues, "For I take refuge in you. I will seek refuge in the shadow of your wings." David, who is in the cave, not only states that his refuge is in God, but that he is also seeking refuge as he is praying for God's protection. Though earthly strongholds such as the cave may be physical means for God's protection, David is recognizing it is God in whom he takes refuge. Until danger passes, already we see the hope in his prayer that the danger in which he seeks protection will pass. Looking at verse 2, I call to God Most High, to the God who fulfills his purpose for me. The God Most High is not only far superior to all things, but he is the one who is sovereign over the danger that is facing David now. this verse stings the most and is one in which we struggle with the most. God who fulfills his purpose for me? How can God be fulfilling his purpose for my life if I am suffering and fleeing the enemy? Wrong question. How can God fulfill your prayer if he is not the one in control? How often we desire to be sovereign over our lives and plagued by sin in the process, anger, bitterness, resentment, when the things we plan don't go accordingly. When sickness strikes, there is conflict or there is a pandemic. As Christians, we must be a people who trust in God's sovereignty, but just desperately pray for him to move and believe that he has the power to work in the circumstances for our good and his glory. Look at verse 3a. He reaches down from heaven and saves me, challenging the one who tramples me, Selah. Here again we see God pictured as reaching down from heaven to save and challenging the one who tramples me. Picture a cowboy who has just fallen off a bull. I've been watching a lot of Heartland lately, and the bull, they're sorry, somebody likes Heartland. Man, that messed me up. All right. The other guy grabs him from the horse and pulls him up right before the bull tramples him. There's other ones there to protect the bull rider. The cowboy on the ground is completely dependent on those around him who are there to protect him, just as we should be and are dependent upon God for his protection. This sense of helplessness apart from God's intervention is what we see when Christ stepped down out of heaven to trample sin and Satan. For you are dead in your trespasses and sin, just as the cowboy would be dead apart from intervention. 3b to 4, God sends his faithful love and truth. I am surrounded by lions. I lie down with those who devour men. Their teeth are spears and the arrows. Their tongues are sharp as swords. Do you see the contrast here? God sends his faithful love and truth, and yet David is surrounded by lions, whose tongues are sharp as swords. The imagery should help us to see how the attack is coming against David through words. This shouldn't surprise us. We all know the saying, sticks and stones. Exactly. Yet it's a lie. Words have far more impact than physical pain. It's the scheme of the devil to alter God's word and promises to bring doubt in the hearts of God's people. I'll say that again. It is the scheme of the devil to alter God's word and promises to bring doubt in the hearts of God's word and in God's people. We saw this first in the garden. How did he deceive Adam and Eve? By altering the word. David is under attack, and God sends his faithful love and truth. It is the faithfulness of God and his truth that is most needed in times of trouble. Verse 5. God be exalted above the heavens. Let your glory be over the whole earth. This is the first time this chorus is said and is uttered as more of a prayer, pleading with God to demonstrate his glory by saving David. In prayer, our aim should always be that God may be exalted and that the outcome furthers God's glory. We have seen in verses 1 to 5 David's desperate prayer for refuge from his enemies. Now we look to verse 6 to 11, where David expresses delightful praise to God. Verse 6, they prepared a net for my steps. I was despondent. They dug a pit ahead of me, but they fell into it, Selah. Did you catch the contrast from verse 2, where it is God who fulfills his purpose, to hear where they prepared a net for his steps and dug a pit ahead of him. The enemy seeks to cause conflict and disunity where God's glory is being exalted. The enemy is at work scheming attacks, yet we know that he is on a leash and can only do what God purposes. Though they dug a pit ahead of him, they are the ones who fall. Do not be alarmed, for if they persecuted Christ, they will persecute you. But even so, God's purposes will be fulfilled. Leaving the heights of verse 5 amid these attacks, David states that he was bowed down or despondent. This may seem off. How could David be hopeless? But he is not saying he is hopeless. He's saying he was hopeless. Have you felt this way? David, seeing the attacks upon him, is brought low. If you are unable to sympathize here, you may soon. But how encouraging that he states it in the past tense. Though David's heart was brought low as he gazed upon the attacks on the earth, where he goes next, his eyes were fixed on God's character in heaven. Verse 7, my heart is confident, God. My heart is confident. I will sing praise, I will sing praises. The word for confident or steadfast in some translations may mean upright or firm. And although each of these words get to the point, we can see the meaning in its context. After he stated that they dug a pit for me, but they fell into it, he proclaims his heart is upright, which gives him the idea of confidence in God. There's a stark contrast from David's despondence in verse 6 and now his confidence in verse 7. If your heart is confident or steadfast today, or are you viewing your current situation, whether it be physical ailment, conflict, sin, or suffering, as hopeless? David felt this despair as well, but I plead with you, take it to the Lord. We are not meant to carry these burdens alone. When we take it to the Lord in desperate prayer, we too with David can say, my heart is confident, knowing the Lord is the one fulfilling his purpose for us, though it may seem as the world is against us. Verse 8, wake up my soul, wake up harp and lyre, I will awake the dawn. Many of you lack praise in your life because you are not praying. Many of you fail to see God's hand in your situation because you are not bringing your needs to him in prayer. Recall verse 2, God who fulfills his purpose for me. We must awake the dawn. The best way to wake your soul is through desperate prayer, which leads to delightful praise. I'll say it again. The best way to wake your soul is through desperate prayer, which leads to delightful praise. We can rejoice in our suffering, knowing God is working it for our good and his glory. Some of you may not want to wake. You are scared to acknowledge that this suffering may be the very place God wants you. You may be angry with God, but I encourage you to go to him. Lay out your heart to the Lord, for he knows your struggle and is working in it for your good and his glory. We neglect the joy in our suffering when we do it alone. Christ suffered alone so that we may find refuge and joy in our suffering, knowing that just as Christ was exalted, we also will be exalted with him in glory. David continues his delightful praise from verse 7. I will sing praises. In verse 9, I will praise you, Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. In contrast to the tongues of sharp swords used to devour men in verse 4, here David is using his tongue to praise God. What is your tongue being used for? Is the praise of God on your lips? God does not become more glorious because we praise him. His glory is eternal, but we experience God's glory when we delight in him, and when we praise him, and when we seek to make him known. If you have been saved by the grace of God, and the praise of God is not on your lips, you must examine your heart. For whatever is getting in the way of your praise to God is an idol in your life. The battle fought in our families, in our churches, and on the mission field is the battle fought with Satan over praise. We must recognize the battle and fight. We must support the work of the ministry, both locally and abroad. We must fight the battle first in our own hearts. Verse 10, for your faithful love is as high as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches the clouds. Why should God be praised? For his faithful love, which is as high as the heaven and reaches the clouds. This same faithful love which God sends forth in verse 3, we now see exalted here in verse 10. Are you praising God for his faithful love? Do you believe God has forsaken you or that he has left you in your situation and has abandoned you? God's faithful love is never closer than when we are tucked in the shadow of his wings. David felt this. I am in the refuge of the wings. That is where we are the closest to God's love. There is comfort that surrounds those who draw near to God. Joy that is seen in the midst of suffering is what Satan despises. For the Christian, we have hope in suffering, and we have a comforter, the Holy Spirit. We have Jesus who can sympathize with our weakness. The gospel and the praise of God will not reach the people and nations of God, the people and nations, if our God is comfort and the American dream. Our joy must be found in the worship of God and in the making him known through the gospel, sharing with others about the faithfulness of God. All through the Old Testament, we see the faithfulness of God in keeping his covenant, which ultimately led to Jesus. If David was cut off, the promise would have been cut off and broken as well. God's faithfulness to protect David was God being faithful to you. For from David, our promised Savior came, Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary, who lived a sinless life, who suffered, died, and rose again, that we may be found sinless and have access to God. We can come to God with boldness, knowing he hears our prayers. We'll look at Hebrews 4:14-16. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. We hear this exalted above the heavens. Well, Christ has passed through the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. God is exalted above the heavens because Jesus has passed through the heavens. Hebrews 12:2, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that lay before him endured a cross and despised the shame and has sat down at the right hand of God's throne. Jesus stepped down from the heights of glory to suffer, that he may lift up the lowly to praise and exalt the name of Jesus over the whole earth. This brings us to the final verse, verse 11. God be exalted above the heavens. Let your glory be over the whole earth. When we read this the first time in verse 5, it was more of a plea that God would exalt himself. But now there is confidence that God is exalted. God's position has not changed, but David's heart has changed. He is no longer despondent about his situation. He is confident that the Lord will be exalted in and through what he is suffering. As we conclude, recall how we started by challenging you to humbly cry out to God in prayer, and that God would be exalted in your heart and on your tongue. We have seen this pattern displayed in the Psalm of David as he cried out to God for grace and refuge. How David's heart moved from being despondent to praising God. How the Lord's steadfast love made David's heart steadfast. And how David sought that God would be exalted above the heavens and that his glory would be over the whole earth. But we saw that this went far beyond David as he was in the line of Christ, and how God's protection over David leads to our hope in Christ. We too, with David, can lift up our voices and praise to God because of the grace that has been poured out upon us through the blood of Christ. Though the devil seeks to devour and quench the praise of God, God's glory will continue to be praised and exalted. Every pit that is dug for the Christian only serves the good of the Christian and the glory of God. We can rejoice in our suffering, knowing that God is working it for our good and his glory. May we do everything in our power to make him known and praised both here in Newport Richey and among the peoples and the nations. Join with me in prayer.
Thank you for listening to the Sunrise Community Church Podcast. We pray you are blessed by the preaching of God's Word. If you would like more information about our church, please visit our website at sunrisecc.com. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.